The Owens Thomas House in Savannah has been awarded $250,000, $250,000, by the National Endowment for the Humanities. That money will be used for renovations and reinterpretations of the Owens Thomas House Museum. The early 19th century home is one of Savannah's oldest landmarks. Joining me now is Dinah Berry, Associate Professor of History at the University of Texas. Dinah has authored and edited a number of books on the subject of slavery in the South, notably Slavery and Freedom in Savannah. Hi there, Dinah.
Hi there.
And also with us is Leslie Harris, Professor of History at Northwestern University. Leslie co-edited Slavery and Freedom in Savannah. Hi, Leslie.
Hello.
So, can one of you describe what the Owens Thomas House Museum is? If I walk in as a visitor now, what am I looking at?
It is an historic home that was built by one of the leading architects of the early 19th century, William Jay. It's a beautifully preserved home owned by a number of families, but most well-known as being owned by the Owens family. The Owens family was one of the leading, wealthiest families in the Savannah area. It is a house that represents the antebellum era very well for the wealthy 1%, if you will.
Although it still has existing slave quarters, so the 1% and their unpaid labor.
Exactly. And the ownership of enslaved people was definitely a marker of the wealth of people during that time. And so in the back, the house has the one of the best preserved urban slave quarters that we have in the nation.
Dinah, there have been a lot of attempts to either create art about slavery times that have gone awry. There have been museum exhibits that have been called out for being insensitive and sometimes offensive. How does one contextualize that era in our history without getting it wrong?
I think one is by hiring and working with scholars that do the work that we've done for all these years. There's a number of historians that consult on projects like the Owens Thomas House. And we worked on this project, and we're happy to be involved with it because we could then look at the context of what happened. We can do the research and work with the staff at Telfair Museums to find out the history behind the ownership of the house, the other satellite properties that the Owens family owned. Because, you know, this particular house, the family George Owens, the George Welshman Owens, owned about 8,000 acres of land on rural plantations in 7 different counties in Georgia. So just this community and this house only represented part of his wealth. A lot of his wealth came from the rural plantations that were satellite to the Owens Thomas house.
Leslie, can you remember the first time that you walked into this house and walked into those slave quarters?
Absolutely. That was in, I think, the summer of 2007. I had been to Savannah a few times, but had never gone to the Owens Thomas house. I was visiting with a friend, and we went there, and I was struck by the beauty of the house in the front and by the slave quarters. The interesting thing about urban slave quarters is that owners tried to keep them up because they didn't want to be embarrassed in front of their neighbors. And, of course, over the course of many years, the slave quarters had been repurposed a number of times as apartments. But I was still amazed that they existed, and the Owens, the Telfair Museums had tried to bring them back to their original function so that you could get a sense of the space that enslaved people lived in and shared as they worked for these families in the antebellum era.
So what can you tell the Telfair Museum? What can you tell people who might be interacting as guides or as informative people at the museum? What do you tell them to say? What do they avoid?
It's not so much that. It's as with all elements of the house, what historic sites like the Owens Thomas House are trying to do is to present the whole history. And what the NEH grant is enabling the Owens Thomas House to do is to deepen our understanding of, I would almost say, the ecology of the house, the ways that blacks and whites interacted in various spaces in the house. With most historic homes, you walk into the front door, you see all of the fancy beds, you imagine, you know, that you're having dinner at the fancy table. Well, the Owens Thomas House has been doing for really the last 2 to 3 decades is understanding how those homes were maintained, the labor that it took. And so for the docents and for people visiting to present the enslaved people as laborers in the home, as people who were coerced laborers, and to understand more deeply the relationship between blacks and whites in the system of slavery is very important. The Owens-Thomas House, for example, is working on recovering the workspaces that enslaved people labored in. And so that's going to give people a great idea of the kind of hard labor that enslaved people did just about 24 hours a day. They slept a few hours, but they were the first up in the morning in a house like the Owens-Thomas House and the last to go to bed at night, and they were on call for the wealthy owners. And so it's a matter of presenting the truth. There may be people who are disturbed by hearing some of these details, but in my experience of working with museums on presenting the whole truth of slavery, more people are curious and they want to know more, and they're also excited. They become excited about the history in a different way. We live in a nation where people have hidden this history, and hiding things often makes us, we feel uncomfortable as a community when we know that we're not getting the truth. And so,
I want to go in a little further into that, because I want to tell you about an exchange I just had last week in which I was talking to somebody on the plane and I said, well, you know, the era of slavery lasted in the United States for longer than a century and a half. And the other person said, no. That is not true. And I thought to myself, Dinah, maybe you can address this. Why is our knowledge of that era so inaccurate in general?
Well, part of it is, and I've said this before, it's the way we've taught it in history books, particularly in the K-12 books. It's brushed over, it's overlooked, and people are, as Leslie just said, are uncomfortable with the topic of slavery, and they'll say, oh, it was a long time ago. But it really wasn't that long ago, and we have people that have, you know, two or three generations removed from slaveholders and from enslaved, you know, enslaved
families. Yeah,
that's
family. Me. Yeah.
A lot of us are connected in their own ways. And it's not, I think it's the stain on our country, our country's history, and because of it, there's a lot of shame and embarrassment and anger that is associated with understanding that we actually were a country that owned human beings. You know, some of our founding fathers owned human beings, and our country has been built and profited off of the institution of slavery. And people are not comfortable with that because it's the great shame of our nation.
Well, then, in the 2 minutes that we have left, Leslie, what do you make of the argument that, look, it's been over a century, and I am a person who I personally didn't own slaves. I didn't, you know, torture people. So why can't we let this go?
Sure. And I want to say one thing about the Owens-Thomas House that's important as well. The Owens-Thomas House welcomes many schools over the course of the school year on tours. And so they are helping to fill in the gaps in the history of slavery in the K-12 schools. But the other thing I want to say is that we really have to realize that the exploration of the Americas, the economy of the Americas, from the moment that Columbus came, he came with the understanding that he might be planting sugarcane in the Americas, and that is a slave-produced good, even in the Mediterranean, on European and in old Europe. And so enslaved labor underpinned the exploration, founding, and the economy and wealth of the Americas. So there would be no Americas as we know it without large numbers of enslaved people who also composed the majority of immigrants to the Americas before the 19th century. So your friend on the plane who didn't know that slavery had lasted so long, slavery lasted from the moment, practically from the moment of European exploration of the Americas. And even people who came to the Americas after slavery ended, people who come in the great European migrations of the 20th century, they were able to be here because slavery was also a global system that underpinned the Industrial Revolution. Without the Industrial Revolution, we would not have the sort of factory labor that contributed to their ability to become workers and then wealthy people. So slavery and slave labor really underpinned our modern economy. Yeah. And the Owens-Thomas House is one example, a very personal example in some ways, of how enslaved blacks and whites lived and worked together. But slavery was really a global system, African
right.
slavery in particular.
That is Leslie M. Harris, a professor of history at Northwestern University, and Dinah Berry, associate professor of history at the University of Texas. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Just ahead, a Georgia mother whose son was shot and killed talks about how to solve gun violence. First, though, what is the Iron Pipeline? This is On Second Thought.